As the video said, my name is Logan Amline. I've been here for about 23 and a half years, and if that gives you any indication, I'm only 23 and a half years old, so I still got a little ways to go. Before we get started and dive into the Word, let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, you have shown us through your Word that we were created and gifted to serve. I pray that as we look at this idea of service, that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts to show us how to serve one another in ways that brings you glory. We ask this in your name, amen. When we look at the word service, I'm certain we can find a time in our lives, either when we did serve or when we were being served. Several years ago, my family and I went to Chick-fil-A just down the street, and if you've ever been to Chick-fil-A, you know they can move people through a line like no one else's business. You have 30 cars there, you're in and out in 20 minutes, and you have a great meal to go along with it. On this particular occasion, though, something very unusual happened. We ordered our food, things were fine, and then we pulled up a little bit, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited a little bit more. About 20 or 30 minutes went by between when we ordered our food and when we actually got to the window. I don't know if it was a lot of cars or if there were issues in the kitchen, I'm not sure, but when we got up to the window, they gave us our food and they said, "This is on us because you had to wait so long." They valued their customers so much that they would be willing to give up profits in order to satisfy them more. In fact, in their culture, in their mission statement, they have two goals: to serve like God would serve, and to serve people with the best of their abilities. That creates a certain kind of culture and reputation for Chick-fil-A. They take the cake when it comes to service. But the truth is, there are different cultures of service in every interaction with people. In businesses, there are both good and bad services. Within a church, there can be both good experiences of service and bad experiences of service. In our families and in our friendships, there can be good instances of service as well as bad experiences. Last week, Pastor Chet started off a new series for us called A New Kind of Culture, and he told us about what it looks like to live in a culture of love. This week, we're going to continue with that passage and that series about creating a culture of service that is built on love and hospitality. So let's dive in. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 says this: "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength God supplies, in order that in everything God should be glorified through Christ. To him belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." The very first thing Peter tells us about building a culture of service is that it has to begin with a love of others. We may not use the word hospitality very frequently, but the idea behind it is a love of others, and more specifically, a love of strangers. What would happen is, in the times when Christ was around, Christians would open up their homes for other Christians who were coming through the area. Very frequently, Christians would go on missionary journeys from city to city to bring the gospel, and they needed places to stay. But unlike today, they didn't have a surplus of hotels. And the hotels they had were not exactly what we would call clean. Especially if you saw rats coming around on your bed, it'd make you want to change hotels very quickly. And they didn't have an excess of money either. So these Christians would open up their homes and provide a space for other brothers and sisters to do their good work. If that sounds risky, that kind of is. If you open up your home for someone you don't know and you basically got a letter of recommendation from a church saying, "We recommend these people to you," That was all the information you got about them. It would come out later whether or not they were doing the work of God or if they were just trying to manipulate people. So it was risky, but it was also time-consuming and energy-draining. If you've ever hosted an event like Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, you know there's preparation beforehand. Every square inch has to be vacuumed, cleaned, dusted, washed. Every dish has to be cleaned, and every toilet has to be scrubbed. That was my job back in the day, so I would know. After all the preparation cleanup, there is preparing food. If you have a big family, they're going to bring some food, hopefully, and you'll only have to prepare a little bit, but you'll still have to do some preparation work. During the actual event, there is entertainment that you have to take into account. We have a ton of younger cousins, so we know what it's like to have to run around all day with them. So it's energy draining, it's time consuming, and if we don't serve from a position of love to see our families get together, our friends get together, instead of being a joyful event, it can be a pain in the butt. And this word hospitality is the key that separates one idea from the other. If we love the other person, if we have that love for the other person, if we do it from a character of hospitality, then putting in high amounts of effort will be worth it to see people come together. If we don't serve from a mindset of hospitality, then it will become a drudgery to serve. All good service begins with love of others. And if we can develop this character trait of hospitality, what Peter says next will make sense and be easier to integrate into our characters. He says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. 10:30 in the morning, we're already talking about grumbling. We're off to a good start. If you want to create a better culture, serve without grumbling. If you don't like the word grumbling, we can replace it with complain or mumbling or muttering under your breath, which was the ultimate sin when our parents told us to do something. So we learned quickly not to do that. And here's the truth. Very few people enjoy being in the company of someone when they complain. Sure, there's a time and a place where you need to be able to let off steam, but on a regular basis, if our natural default is to grumble about something or against someone, we eventually may become the object of grumbling and complaint. I would like to call that the secondhand complaining factor. Someone complains, and then they go on and get complained about. Two people start complaining, and it creates a culture that's unpleasant to be a part of. And let's take this down to a little bit of a tangible level. Spouses, if you serve from a mentality of hospitality, a love for the other person that puts their ideas ahead of your own, you will create a culture in your marriage that is sustainable and that is a joy to be a part of. If, on the other hand, you serve out of a grumbling, complaining attitude, that will lower the quality of your marriage. Parents, if you create a culture of grumbling and complaining, that will bring the culture of your family down. But if you teach people to serve with a love for the other person, that will create a culture that people want to be a part of, that your family wants to be a part of. And people my age and a little bit younger, we can look at this too. If we create a culture that grumbles and complains every time our parents ask us to do something, or we grumble when our coworker says this or says that, or we grumble against our siblings, then we bring a different culture that is not sustainable. But if we lead the way in treating people with that love of other and learn to serve in that way, we can change the culture for ourselves and for the culture of the generations that come after us. And my Christian brothers and sisters, we can make the church one of two ways. If we create a culture of grumbling and complaining, we won't attract people to the excellence of Christ. There's no reason why someone would come in here, listen to us complain, and want to stay. But if we learn to serve with a love for the other person, with that mindset that puts someone else ahead of us, we can create a culture that people would say, maybe church is different than I thought. Maybe it's worth giving Christ another chance. We have to understand this idea of hospitality because it fuels what comes next in Peter's letter. He says every piece of service starts with this hospitality, but then we have to create the culture of service. And here's what he says. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. If we want to create a better culture, we have to serve with the gifts we were given. Now, there's two things we need to look at here. First of all, what is this gift? And second of all, why is it received? The answer to the first one is we usually call these gifts spiritual gifts, or gifts of the Holy Spirit. And a quick definition of them are abilities given by God to help build the church, but it's done through people like you and I. In his letters, the Apostle Paul compares the spiritual gifts to a physical body. We all have a physical body, I'm assuming, when we're sitting here, and we all know a little bit of how they function. We have a brain that sends signals to the rest of our bodies to say, move over in this direction or stay planted. It tells our heart how to beat. And our hearts, they beat blood through our veins and to wherever they are needed to go. It sends nutrients, white blood cells to fight infections. Whatever our bodies needs, it sends that. But our brain doesn't do the same exact thing that our heart does. Our hearts don't perform the same function as our livers or our kidneys. And we could say the same thing about the rest of our bodies. Each member has a specific function that enables our bodies to thrive. If our hearts decided to take off a day for some reason, I would say that's probably a one-way trip to the ER. But in the same kind of way, Paul says our spiritual gifts that we have as believers. First of all, each believer has one, and second, at least one. And second of all, if the members use their gifts to build the church will thrive. But if members of the church don't share their gifts, the church will be missing out on that gift. And we've been hinting out at the second idea and talking about the first. These gifts are received. They are given by God to individual believers. And with that being said, not one is more than important than the other. One is not more than important than the other. People in the band, they can't say that their job is more important than the people who welcome. If the people who welcomed weren't there, we wouldn't have the same kind of welcoming spirit in the church. People would walk in, be a little bit isolated, maybe say hey to a friend, and then walk out. Someone who's new and doesn't know anyone may not even be welcomed that day, and they would not be able to experience the love and grace of God. Each individual gift is necessary. Not everyone has the same gift, but each one is necessary for a church to thrive. And there's a little bit more to verse 10 that we need to uncover. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. A steward was someone who was hired or was a servant for a family. The head of the family would train these stewards in very specific tasks. They would balance the books on finances for the family or even the family business. They would also make sure each family member and each other employee or servant had what they needed in order to accomplish their tasks for the day. And Peter says, you are like a steward in this case. God has gifted you with a piece of his grace to share with the rest of the household. When we serve in that way, when we give that gift away, we are fulfilling what Christ has called us to do and enabled us to do. But when we hold that back, people around us won't get that little piece of grace that God has given us to share. And while there are a number of gifts, Peter narrows it down to two ideas, which he says in verse 11. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength God supplies. The first idea, Peter tells us, serve as if we spoke with God's words. The very word speak literally refers to the fact that there's sound coming out of your mouth, not just the content of what's being said. When someone walks into the room and they give a guttural grunt, that sets the culture up to feel one way. Not very pleasant. But when someone comes into a room and they set the culture by saying, that is something worth building a culture with. How we use our words, how we use our sounds makes a difference. And Peter says, think about it as if you were delivering a message from God. Prophets in the Old Testament, they knew God's word was a top priority. They wanted to make sure they got it right. And in the same way, Peter says, think about your words in this way and don't use it to tear people down. We live in a culture that says it's good to cancel people, it's good to spread rumors at work about someone, but that creates a culture that damages our souls and the souls around us. And this is a good time for us to do a reality check. If we go back over the past week and we relive every conversation or the conversations that we remember, or we check our social media posts, what would we find was our tendency? Did we use our words in a way that was God-honoring and that says, I'm trying to build a culture that is beneficial for the people around me? Or does it create a culture that hurts more than it helps? And the second idea that Peter shares with us is serve with God's strength. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. We can contrast our own strength with God's strength. In every sense of the word, our strength has a limited capacity. If we talk about emotional strength, we have emotions, and there's a certain strength that it takes to maintain those emotions. But as we go throughout the day, we run out of the capacity to keep our emotions in check. We run out of strength. We hit our limits. And then there's the strength of willpower. If you've ever had a donut sitting right in front of you on a table, you know that it's difficult to let it sit there. You can go so long before you say, I'll just take one little bite. And the next thing you know, the entire thing's gone because it's a waste to leave half a donut on the table. No one does that. Thank you. And along with this is physical strength. If you've ever come to the end of a day of work and you're just flat out tired and you feel like you could take a nap for an hour or two and still not feel rested, you know what it's like to hit your limit with physical strength. But can I tell you, God's strength is far beyond what we can imagine. He has an infinite supply of emotional energy. He always remains in control of himself. He has an infinite amount of willpower energy. He always chooses to do the right thing, and it does not deplete his ability to do so. And he has a physical strength that is beyond anything we've ever seen. Scripture says that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And Isaiah says he does not faint or grow weary. God's capacity for strength is infinite. And what Peter says is, God supplies these needs for you. In fact, the very word in this Greek text was choregeo, which I think we might get the word choreograph from. And the idea was someone would sponsor a production, a play or a musical, with their own finances. Everything that was needed, they would cover. And Peter says, this is how God treats us. He supplies us with all the strength we need to be able to serve with a love for other people without grumbling, to be able to serve with the gifts that he's given us. God gives us this strength. And the last thing that Peter says is serve as an act of worship. In order that in everything, God should be glorified through Jesus Christ. And to him belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. When we create a culture of service, we also create a culture of worship. It glorifies God when we use the gifts he's given us to serve the people around us and build the church up. When we serve with an attitude of hospitality, that love of other, we have the hope that those people will think to themselves, maybe God is different than I thought. One good interaction can say, that's a place I recommend, or one bad interaction can say, that's a place I wouldn't recommend. And as it creates a culture of service for other people, it also leads us to worship. When the band was up here singing, they created a space for us to be able to serve and worship. When they sang, "Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, and now my life begins with you." That helps us think about what God has done for us and helps us think rightly about God. But at the same time, they don't do it out of a rote memorization. It's something they've come to experience and believe for themselves, and it comes out of their souls when they sing those songs. But it's not just for the band that this happens. When people at the cafe serve, they create an opportunity for people to be able to focus. I don't know if you've ever been hungry and gone to a classroom or tried to go to work, but you're not you when you're hungry. It's difficult to focus. The service they create allows people to worship and focus. Same thing with the people who greet at the front doors. They create an atmosphere where people feel welcome and comfortable to come in and serve. The people who are teaching some of your kids right now, they create an opportunity for your kids to learn who God is and what he's like, and for them to serve as well. The service we render creates a culture of worship. And as we serve as an act of worship, our attitude changes. Just as hospitality focuses our service in the right direction, so our mindset is focused in worship. When we serve as an act of worship, it becomes easier to realize that God is worthy of our best efforts. It's easier to recognize that God has treated us in ways that are ridiculously better than we deserve. And the last thing that we need to look at before we wrap up is this phrase, through Jesus Christ. In order that God should be glorified through Jesus Christ, all of this is possible because Christ first served us. Christ showed the highest level of hospitality when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ did not come to establish a culture of being served, even though that's rightly what he deserved, but he created a culture of serving others. And he did so by giving his life as a ransom for many. Every person Christ came into contact with, he served. When the lepers came to him, he cleansed them. When people who were sick and broken came to him, he healed them. When relationships were falling apart, he was able to bring those people up. We are able to serve first because Christ first served us. All right. Peter tells us we can create a better culture by serving. The first way we do this is by showing that hospitality, that love of other in our service and without grumbling. The second thing he says, serve with the gifts you were given and with the strength you receive from God. And this kind of service leads to a culture of worship for God. My brothers and sisters, we can create a better culture when we break away from our modern culture that says service of the self is the highest form of service. If you need a few ideas to get started about where to serve, I can help you with that. In our families, we can create a better culture if we serve one another. It does take energy, it does take time, and it does test patience. But when we serve from a love of other, when we leave behind the grumbling and complaining, we build a culture in our family that everyone is enjoying and people and our family members want to be a part of. We can create a better culture in our work by serving with love. If we stop spreading the rumors and instead look for the truth, we use our words as if they were from God. If we speak in this capacity, then we create a culture that says, let's treat people better than we deserve. And even in our church, we can learn to serve. As the video said at the beginning, we have a weekend coming up called Love Week. And this is an awesome opportunity to serve our community. It's very easy to ask people to come in here and meet us here. It's much more difficult, but much more impactful when we step out those doors into their areas of life and say, this is what the gospel of Christ is about. If you have a heart for the younger generations, try partnering with Jovan or with Crystal. Every young person needs people who have experienced life to lead them where they haven't been yet. When I was young, I didn't get everything right, but I had people who were on my side who said, here is the way you can go. And I hope I'm not the only one who's ever felt that before. But when we invest in the next generation, we are raising up the people who will become champions for Christ. One day, the people who Jovan and Crystal are working with, they'll be the ones up here serving us with music and with preaching. They'll be the ones over there serving us by welcoming us in. They'll be serving back with what they were given with the next generation after them. And if you're a musician or if you enjoy technology, every Sunday, there's an opportunity to create a culture of worship through service. If you like greeting people and meeting new people, maybe the cafe team or the welcome team is right for you. Whatever it is, there is a spot for you. And if you don't know what your gift is, there's a Connect class coming up that they will help lead you through to figure out what your gift is. And as we serve together to create this culture that says, let's love each other as Christ loved us. Let's see what God will do through us and do in our church because we chose to serve and create a better culture. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ways in which you've equipped us to serve. We thank you for allowing us to partner with you and accomplishing your good work through the church. I pray that you would stir our hearts up with love for one another, so that it would make sense for us to serve each other with the abilities you've given us. I pray that as we do so, we could demonstrate the excellence of Christ in a way that invites your lost kids to experience your goodness. And I pray that through this all, you would be glorified through Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.